Hello and welcome to the 11th in this series of 5-minute podcasts related to the topic of qualitative research and the early years learning environment. In this episode, I'm going to continue the more generative approach by focusing on the role of children's toys as part of an enabling environment. By way of background context, these reflections originated when observing a reception-aged boy playing with a toy car in a partitioned-off area of the classroom. The ideas generated initially from this observation related to the use of semi-private space and ways of laying out the physical setting to encourage and support different types of activity. Types of children's play were also in focus, for example, exploratory play and epistemic play from Hutt's taxonomy, as well as Parthen's developmental perspective from solitary through parallel to cooperative play, considered in detail by Mandy Andrews in her book Exploring Play for Early Childhood Studies, published in 2012. Ideas were also generated in relation to the affordances of toys, for example, the educational value of exploring a toy car, and there was also a focus on age appropriateness and toys and gender. In this podcast, I'm going to move on from these initial reflections to the encompassing context of the non-statutory guidance for the early years foundation stage contained in the Development Matters publication, which can be downloaded from www.foundationyears.org. Development Matters provides bullet-pointed guidance for interpreting each of the key themes, the unique child, positive relationships, and enabling environments. The guidance for enabling environments is helpfully colour-coded with a green heading, but the organisation of the bullet points is less helpful. For example, subheadings might have helped direct attention at the different constituents of enabling environments. A systematic approach to reading through the bullet points helps to assess the relative attention given to constituents such as the physical environment, the indoor and outdoor environment, the emotional environment, and to the sense of partnership between practitioners and parents. This systematic approach also supports a more critically reflective evaluation of the guidance being offered. With this in mind, I'm going to begin the process by considering the first bullet points within the enabling environments theme, which refer to the characteristics of effective learning on page 6 of the Development Matters publication. The first bullet point, related to the playing and exploring characteristic, advises the practitioner to provide stimulating resources which are accessible and open-ended so they can be used, moved, and combined in a variety of ways. The first bullet point related to the active learning characteristic states that children will become more deeply involved when you provide something that is new and unusual for them to explore, especially where it's linked to their interests. In relation to the third characteristic of effective learning, creating and thinking critically, the bullet pointed guidance includes establish the enabling conditions for rich play, space, time, flexible resources, and so on. What's immediately evident here is the valuing of stimulating resources that position children as creators rather than users. This relates well to the Reggio Emilia approach, according to Thornton and Brunton, 2005, in their book Understanding the Reggio Approach, where they say, "Many of the resources used in Reggio are surprisingly different from those we naturally associate with young children, and there is a noticeable absence of toys and equipment with predetermined purposes and outcomes. Open-ended exploration is supported through the provision of a wide range of natural and recycled materials," on page 42. Way back in 1972, Roland Barthes, in his book Mythologies, lamented the nature of toys which were essentially an imitation of the adult world. This is a perspective which recalls Fleming's book Power Play, Toys as Popular Culture, published in 1996. On the other hand, the ready-made narratives encompassing popular toys may stimulate the imagination as alternative scenarios are enacted in settings which allow for the expression of children's culture. The other aspect of resources within the approaches of Reggio Emilia and also Montessori, the valuing of natural resources, are not evident in these first bullet points. Catherine Schaefer, in her website www.catherineschaefer.com, emphasises that within Reggio preschools, the environment has wood floors and many wooden toys. The doors are partly glass. All the materials are from the natural world or from the recycling centre. Referring once again to Roland Barthes' view of toys in the mythologies, the plastic material of which they are made has an appearance at once gross and hygienic. It destroys all the pleasure, the sweetness, the humanity of touch, page 54. In place of this graceless material, Barthes 1972 valorized wood as a familiar and poetic substance which does not sever the child from contact with the tree, the table, the floor, again page 54. Further emphasis on the value of natural materials comes from Bradley et al. 2001 in Miller and Pons' Theories and Approaches to Learning in the Early Years, which noted that in the Montessori setting, the equipment provided for the child should be made of natural materials where possible, on page 78. As a concluding thought, philosophically, there's no logical connection between natural and good, so I'm more inclined to favour variety rather than to emphasise the natural. And also, the second bullet point for enabling environments advises practitioners to make sure resources are relevant to children's interests. Okay, I think that's about 5 minutes, so look forward to the next episode focusing on another aspect of qualitative research and the early years learning environment.